Natasha is the COO of Cable Feeder Systems.
To be successful, you need other people to be successful as well.
And Natasha is not only a very successful career woman, she's also a dedicated mom and an all-round impressive woman.
You must always remember what drives you. Does it drive you to be significant or successful?
Every single one of those nuggets of advice, and it's applicable to men or women.
What to me is success? And I realized a lot of my success in how I defined it was based on what other people thought or what I thought was expected of me.
You're listening to Intentionality with Paul Kempf.
We met during our MBA studies at Gibbs, and we really got to know each other well when we did that international elective when we went to the US. So my first question to you today is, if you had the chance today, you go and do that MBA over?
I will definitely do it again.
Why?
I think being older, being more mature, having more life experience, business experience, I think I will take very different things from the MBA. I think when I did it first time around, I did it for ticking the box of getting the MBA. And because of that, I think when I have to do it again, I would rather do it for the relationships and the network building, because I think that's where you really realize the value behind an MBA.
I love doing the MBA, but I must be honest with you, I don't know if I would be able to do all of those hours, that commitment, juggling work responsibilities, family responsibilities. I think that's the thing that would probably get me, but I do agree with you 100%. I think what we learned there, the experiences we built up, the relationships, the networks, to me, that was absolutely incredible. Tell me, what was the one thing that you would say stood out most for you? What was the thing that was the most valuable for you during your time at the MBA?
Definitely the people. I think relationships that I've built with people from the MBA is ones that last a lifetime, like ours. But I think post-MBA, most of my jobs post then was based on relationships I built from my journey at Gibbs. So that's most valuable. I think coming from a finance background, most of the subjects we did there, we've already done. It was still hard. It was still a lot of hours, but that's definitely not where the learning for me came from. It was learning from people around the table with different experiences, different backgrounds or frames of reference.
Natasha, you've said a lot about relationships. I just want to explore that a little bit more. This whole idea of intentional relationships, having intentional relationships in your life. What is it that you do, or can you give us an example of where you've been very intentional about the relationships you've had in your life and the role they've played in your life?
I think when I'm building relationships with people, it's obviously about the connection. It's not about how you subtract something from those relationships. I think the good part of the MBA is where those relationships actually does become more meaningful in your life, but it evolves naturally. And one example of that is where I contacted John, one of the guys that studied with us. And I contacted him based on where I was working at the moment. I was consulting, and I wanted to offer him a service. At that point in time, we were not close. He wasn't part of our circle of friends necessarily, but we saw each other. And he actually said yes to the meeting for one funny reason only, is because he saw my name on the dean's list.
Okay.
And he thought, okay, this lady must be smart.
Yeah.
But he didn't know me. And through that one interaction, reminiscing about our relationship, reminiscing about our time that we studied together, we actually started building a very good friendship. And that friendship ended in him offering me a job. And I became the first non-family member in a family business that was just acquired by a listed company to help them navigate through that process. And I worked there for 7 years until literally a month ago. And we still have contact. He's become such a mentor to me. He's always been very wise and mature in the way he thinks. So it's a relationship that post a job, it's a friendship, it's a mentorship. And it's been very valuable. And I think those are the nuggets from MBA and from relationships where it might have started at something. But if you invest your time, like in any relationship, how it can actually evolve and mean something both to you, to a company, we can build great things together.
I couldn't agree more. I think if I had to choose two benefits for me from the MBA, that would certainly be one of them, the networks, the friendships. There's another thing that the MBA taught me, it expanded my capacity. You know, in that first few weeks, you think, how am I going to cope with all of this? How am I going to juggle all of these responsibilities? And then over time, you find a way.
I learned how to delegate. I could never delegate, and I was forced to do it because you could not, with the capacity, do everything anymore.
I learned to sleep less. That's one of the things. and somehow, you never go back to where you were before. You sleep less. You work longer hours. I think that's another benefit of the MBA. There might be a lot of people, listeners, followers, thinking about an MBA. Do you think it's still relevant? Do you think it's something that still has value in today?
I think if you do it for the right reasons, yes, but you need to understand why you do it. If you do it for something next to your name, for another diploma on the wall, I think it's the wrong reason. I think you have to be in a certain place in your career to really find value from it. Then I think, yes, definitely. I don't think anyone will regret it if they're in the right place and in the right mindset. There's definitely value to it.
I've had a couple of people ask me about it, and I think just to add to what you have said, two of the things that stands out for me is it has to be the right time in your life. I don't think it's something you should do if you're in your early 20s, for example. I think you need to be a bit more mature. That's just my feeling about it. And I think the second thing for me has always been, because it's a leadership qualification, it really does help if you have a little bit of leadership experience, if you've managed a team before. But I think if those two things are there, the maturity and the leadership experience, I think it's an absolutely invaluable qualification and experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of stereotypes around MBAs. That's most of the comments I find when someone finds out you've done an MBA is, oh, you've done an MBA. How do you know? Because someone tells you. That's normally what you hear.
That's right.
That's right. And I think that that's the wrong way to perceive what it is. And again, it comes back to the learnings that you take from it at the end of the day and how that helps you build the next step in your career or just in life in general. We learned a lot, the global module, everything we learned then we experienced. And no, it was absolutely amazing. I will let anyone I know promote them into doing that.
I just remember one last thing I learned from the MBA, and that is to walk incredible distances with you in New York. I think New York specifically, at some point in time, I just said to you, I cannot walk anymore. Yeah. Have you been back to the US?
I have. Last year I was in Chicago, in Boston. And it was so nice being back. It was so nostalgic. I had a partner working with me that went with me. And I drove him nuts because I took him to all the places where we built memories. And I think he could see the passion. And for the first time, he saw the value that it brought to me and how fond I was of our time there, even though it was just 2 weeks in Boston and New York. I haven't been back to New York, though. But yeah, I think he saw the love that was nurtured there and the friendships that was building there. And I sent all of you messages while I was there. And we reminisced together. That was very special.
Great. I can't wait to take Chanel to the places we've been. I think that'll be very exciting once we get around to that.
And I think I made you fit for Chanel.
You did. You're right. All that walking. Quite correct. Yeah. Yeah. Any exciting developments in your life since the MBA? Anything you can share?
I became a mom.
That's
post
very exciting.
MBA. Yes. That was great. I never wanted to be a mom. And oh, wow. How did I not know what I was going to miss out on if I didn't do it? So that's definitely been one of the most value-adding, life-changing moments since MBA. And I think also in my career, I took a very different leap of faith after I got the MBA. I went from finance to operations. I always loved operations. So I got the opportunity to go as a chief operating officer at a very small company, but very diverse, got to deal with so many different things that I would never have seen in my role as finance manager or CFO. So yes, that changed the path of my career. I went back to finance after that. I think finance finds you when it's something so part of your core. And now going back into full operations, yes. So lots of exciting things that happened post MBA.
Okay, I want to explore that career trajectory of yours in a moment. Maybe just my standard question I ask for all guests, one that I love hearing the answer to. And that is, what is it that Natasha Brits is passionate about? What is it that you that gets you up in the mornings, that puts a smile on your face. And it could be three things. It could be one thing.
I think for me, realizing every day what makes me happy is not a title or a position. It's purpose-driven. It's finding what you are really good at and doing that. And I think what I've found is my superpower is building relationships with people and impacting people every day. So for me, waking up every morning knowing somewhere through my day, I'm going to make a difference in someone's life. It might not be functionally or value-adding to a business, but it will leave a mark with a person.
Love it. All right, let's get back to that career and the career trajectory and the success you've had in the corporate world. When we spoke about this episode, you said to me that you think a good title for this episode will be Ambition versus Intention. Explain.
So again, I think when you become wiser, more mature in life, you realize how to define things differently. And if I think of my early career years, it was all about ambition. I was extremely driven, ambitious. In the conventional sense, I've got a 5-year plan. I've got a 10-year plan. I know what I need to study to get there. I know the titles I want in a certain year. Where do I want to be when I was 30? So all of those things was for me ambition. And then one day you realize, and for me, it happened somewhere between 30 and 40 years old. I woke up one day and a daunting thought came to mind. What now? I've done everything very early in my career. By 30, I ticked most of my boxes. What is left for my next 30 years? That was daunting. And that's, I think, where I started realizing, is how do you define success? What to me is success? And I realized a lot of my success in how I defined it was based on what other people thought or what I thought was expected of me. So where do I need to be in a certain place in my life? And then I realized, but to be happy with what you're doing, to find your purpose, that is actually for me where the intentional part comes in, because then you know this is what's going to make me happy. If I'm happy at doing this, I'll be successful in doing that. So waking up intentionally every morning, choosing where you want to be in life, not just taking every opportunity while you're young, but choosing them wisely. Know what's going to contribute to your life, what aligns to your values, your morals, your standards. And doing it on your own terms. I think that's what I like is being in control of your success and not letting life just happen to you.
You spoke about this moment, I think you said when you turned 30, where you start asking certain questions. I think I had a similar experience, but mine happened at 50. And somebody actually warned me about it. They said when you get to 50 and maybe
so I'm going to get there again.
You're going to get there again. At 50, you start asking different questions. You know, you talked about purpose. You talked about success and where your success is going and what the definition of success is. What I found at age 50 was starting to think about things like legacy. You know, what is your legacy? What are people going to remember about you when you're not there anymore? What is it that you can do to have an impact in this world? And I must tell you, those questions that I asked myself at 50 was one of the primary reasons why I started this podcast. Let's just talk about success a little bit more, and specifically success as a woman in business. What are, in your opinion, some of the important factors that helps you as a woman in business to be successful? Maybe some advice you might have for women trying to climb the corporate ladder.
I think it's don't try to fit into a mold. Don't try to fit into a place where you don't feel authentic, where you don't feel you can be yourself. Then you're in the wrong space. I think one thing that I've had to learn is no one expects a fish to survive in a savanna. Why are we expected to fit a certain mold? So for me, I've the world is limitless. I don't limit myself because I'm a woman or a. For me, the playing field's very level. So I've never looked at it that way. I don't put boundaries in place for myself in that way. I don't define myself that way. So for me, it's definitely, I know you can do anything. and if you've got that mindset, you will attract, I think, limitless opportunities. What I've learned is you cannot do it by yourself. Everyone says it's lonely at the top. I think it's lonely when you choose to be lonely. build a tribe, have a network, have people you can really trust. And it's indifferent for personal matters, have a personal tribe. For professional matters, have a professional tribe. But have people that you know will be dead honest with you, but know they've got your best interest at heart. So that for me is critical if you want to be successful. You cannot be an island. You have to have people around you to support you. I think then to be successful, you need other people to be successful as well. So for me, cheering people on around me, that's very important. I'm very passionate about making people feel seen and heard, and that they matter. And that whenever I make a decision in my career or personally, is how do you involve other people in those decisions? And it's always a group effort. Again, it comes back to you can't be successful by yourself. You need to do it with people. So having that impact on them for me is important. And then understanding your purpose. We all have something different to bring to the table. What I'm good at is not the same as what you are good at. So instead of looking across the fence and trying to be something else, just understand yourself and what you bring. I think that is critical. Too many people are trying to be something they're not. And somewhere, only authenticity is what's going to get you to the next step. That's what people really see in you. It's not all the functional, the qualifications and the experience. And it's not just that.
I think there's some great insights there, but there's something I particularly like about what you've said now. And that is that you can take every single one of those insights, every single one of those nuggets of advice, and it's applicable to men or women. It doesn't matter. It's the same. Love that. We're getting close to the end of this interview. You can't believe how time flies when you're having fun. Is there anything that you do in your life intentionally? I mean, after all, the name of this podcast is Intentionality with Paul Kempf. Is there anything you do intentionally on a daily, weekly, monthly basis that you think contributes to your success, that helps you to be more successful?
I do, and I think it's very simple. When you read all the leadership's books, it's about doing exercise and having this ritual. I think for me, it's much more simple than that. When I was a very little girl, my dad taught me to wake up with joy every day and to choose that every day. So I think if I have to single out one thing that I'm very intentional about, and I think you've known me long enough to attest to that, is every single morning when I wake up, I choose for this to be a good day. No matter if it's bad, there's going to be something good in that day that you can take from that day. Says, how do you find joy in the little things? How I always tell people that works with me, do at least one thing you love every day. Because we get stuck in routine and boring things. So find that one thing that excites you every day. And I think that positivity for me, it becomes like a magnet. And that's what my dad taught me, is if you shine positivity, that is the magnet. That's what you will attract at the end of the day. And I really believe that's why I've gotten opportunities. I've been so lucky with what opportunities I've been faced with in my career, in my life. But I really think it comes down to your attitude to things. And I always, someone told me the other day, is no matter what comes to me, even if it is the worst piece of, I must think, what's a proper word for crap on a podcast?
I think you can use crap. Don't worry.
I can polish it until it sparkles. That's what someone tells me. So no matter what the situation is and what is presented in front of me, I will find the good and I'll build something great from that little piece of good. And for me, that's literally the only thing intentionally I wake up with every day. The rest, I don't like routine.
You see, right there in that answer is the reason why we became friends, why we've stayed friends, why we get along so well, because I can relate to every single thing you have said there. And you're right. I've known you for a long time. I don't think it's just waking up with joy in the morning for you. It's about having your entire day with that thought of joy and finding joy in the little things. I can relate to that. And I think it's probably been one of the best answers to this question that I ask anybody that comes on this podcast. I absolutely love it. Thanks for that. And thanks for sharing with the listeners and the viewers. I also do a tip of the week every week. So if you've listened to one or two of my episodes, you would know I would usually do a tip of the week when I do a episode on my own. But I always like my guests to give us a recommendation.
I don't have a recommendation, but yesterday I was in a conversation with something and with someone, and what they told me resonated with me so much. And I think it links back to the whole theme of today. And we were having a farewell for a colleague that's going to the US. And someone told him, because this person was talking about success and he needs to be successful in this venture. And yeah, in the corner, this one guy just very understatedly said to the guy, "You must always remember what drives you. Does it drive you to be significant or successful?" And that for me was profound, is that in everything that you do, if you can think, is this because I'm driving success or do I want to be significant? And it doesn't mean arrogant. It means making an impact every day. And that for me was just something that resonated, is with every decision in your life, think significance or success. Because I think based on your perspective and what you're going to choose, your life's going to look different.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's it for today. I have the feeling this is going to be one of those episodes that people are really going to enjoy. They're really going to watch it. They're really going to share it. I just want to say how much I appreciate you being here today and just having a chat with me, reminiscing about what we've been through and what your journey to success has been like. So thank you for that. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Paul. And thanks for inviting me. It was super fun spending time with you. I always love spending time with you.
Thanks for watching Intentionality with Paul Kempf. Subscribe, like, and click that bell to get notified when we release more episodes on how to live a life of intention and purpose. See you next time.